everybody. It is John Henry here at the John Henry Show. Welcome back. It is Free for All Friday, and so we are going to I think we're going to forego a lot of the talk about politics and all that other stuff and the news and everything that I usually do. That doesn't mean it's not going to be an interesting show, I hope. but welcome aboard anyway. Housekeeping stuff, of course. Twitter, John Henry, Twitter at John Henry underscore US, website johnhenry.us, PayPal, paypal.me/johnhenryus, Patreon at patreon.com/johnhenry. That should be rolling by Monday, by the way. Facebook at facebook.johnhenry.us, and of course at I loved to wake up in the morning when Barack Obama was president. And as always, of course, please do remember I am independent media, so please remember to like, share, subscribe, comment, spread the word, and get it around, because as romantic as the idea is, I would rather not end up being one of those people that nobody figures out how cool he is until after he's dead. So thanks for joining us if you choose to, and if you don't, then that's okay too. Hopefully you'll catch the podcast later on. I've got to break the habit of using that regal we. Man, that irritates me. I am going to discuss today. I want to talk about gaslighting, manipulation, sociopaths, people who are manipulators. And I talk about this stuff a lot in the context of, you know, communication, advertising, political talk, and so on and so forth. And I've made references several times to, you know, Robert Cialdini and Edward Bernays and these other sorts of, you know, scientists and people who have studied and made great strides in this stuff. And that's you know, one of my broadest areas of expertise, and so I do tend to lean on it quite a bit. I think it's important stuff. But today I want to talk about those things in the context of personal relationships and human beings and the things that human beings do with and to each other. And of necessity, that's going to involve, you know, some self-referential stuff. And I really hope that you don't think it's just me being self-indulgent and talking about myself. And I mean, I guess if you do, there's nothing that I can do about it. But I'm going to be drawing on some of my own experiences in life to kind of discuss that. A lot of the folks who have followed me for a while know that I went through a situation in late 2018 and early 2019 where just my whole life fell apart out in Utah. And, you know, I moved back to Michigan here, and I spent about a year kind of just hibernating and really kind of thinking about, you know, who I am and where I am and what I'm doing and what I want to do and all those things, that sort of existential midlife crisis sort of situation. Excuse me. And one of the things that came out of that is for the first time in my life, I'm really beginning to develop a genuine sense of self-respect. There's a lot of behaviors and things that I have historically bought into or been played into that I've chosen to actively reject and no longer participate in. And a lot of that comes back to the gaslighting, the manipulation, the techniques that narcissists use to gain and keep your attention, to burn your energy, and to cause you to waste a lot of time. In the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of different situations involving some longtime friends. I will call them friends, even though really that word doesn't necessarily apply. But as we will discuss later, but these aren't the only two people, and this is not a conversation about individual people. Okay, I'm just reaching out to this as examples. In one situation, there was a friend, a female about my age, who I've known online for, 7 or 8 years, and we've had some discussions. She certainly has, in theory at least, been a fan of my work. She's read my articles. She knows that I am pretty rabid about pushing back against gender biases and male dominance narratives and paradigms and just the whole inequality of the sexes and all of that. I don't put up with that kind of thing very well, especially because, I am the father of a daughter. She's about 30 now. But certainly if I hadn't already begun changing my perspective by the time she was born, her existence would have radically changed the way that I view the world and my relationships with other people, and especially how we treat, the females of our species. And so it would be pretty ludicrous, I think, for anyone to suggest, in light of my work and in light of the things that I've said and done over the years and the losses that I've taken as a result, to accuse me of, misogyny. And so I had this friend, and a couple of weeks ago we're having a conversation about Elizabeth Warren. And this was actually, it was less than 2 days after I wrote my first Medium article, which was, titled On the Rise of the Aggressive Woman, or On the Rise of the Unruly Woman. And it was well received and well thought. And it was very much, praising and elevating and adding positive tone to the idea of women who do not sit down and shut up when they're told, and of women who are unapologetically aggressive when the need arises. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm really fighting a serious cold here. As far as I know, it's not coronavirus. And so we're having this conversation, so on and so forth, and talking about Elizabeth Warren as a Democratic candidate, who I'm not supporting. I'm backing Sanders, as I've said many times. And she made some kind of remark about, people who are not supporting Warren are not supporting Warren because she's female. And I responded, well, I would feel the same way about Elizabeth Warren, regardless if she was male or female, right? I have fundamental issues with some of her policy positions and with some of the things that she's done, especially in terms of lifting a lot of rhetoric from other popular and successful campaigns, and a lot of what seems to be pandering to labels and identity politics and so on and so forth. And so I made the remark that, whether Warren is male or female is irrelevant. If she was a man, I would, feel the same way about her. And this friend, who again has known me and should well certainly know better, responds, I don't think so. Okay, that's done immediately. I am sorry. If you are somebody who has been around me for, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and the first thing that you go to when I say I'm not supporting your preferred female candidate is that it must be based in misogyny, you don't know me and I don't want you around. Furthermore, staying on the topic at hand, this is a tool of manipulation. Okay, this is a tool and an underhanded tool, a tactic of compliance gaining. Okay, because what I'm supposed to do is back down out of fear that I'll be accused of something, and I'm not going to do that. Okay. That's not how I operate. I'm supposed to get all apologetic. I'm supposed to start making excuses for myself. And then, of course, I get back to in a corner where, any response over two sentences is referred to mansplaining. And again, this is just an example. Conversation is not about male-female relationships or men versus women or gender politics or any of that stuff. This conversation is about people and how they act. Okay, this person could have easily said, what is your issue? What do you feel is a reason that you don't support Elizabeth Warren that you think would apply equally to her if she was male? And I could have given, a perfectly reasonable answer for that. But instead, immediately, it was the attack. Now, this tells me that this is a person who did not respect me in the first place, okay? And that's going to be a recurring theme. And the respect itself not so much an issue because that is also ego. But the issue becomes, this is a person who is, you know, very flattering towards me and very laudatory towards me when I am saying things that verify and validate their biases. But as soon as I say something they disagree with, then immediately, in this case, and we'll talk about a different situation in a minute that's kind of similar, but in this case, immediately they jump to the base insult, which to me, you know, I mean, you're questioning my integrity, you're questioning my character, you're questioning how real I am and how legitimate I am. And what you're telling me is that somehow or the other, through these years of pretending that you respected what I was saying, and that you thought that I was saying things that are, you know, of value and, you know, hold some sort of useful information, that really what you were thinking was, this guy is, you know, full of crap and I really don't care for anything he's got to say, but I want to be there and be present. Because if I'm involved in these interactions and I make myself visible, then I become part of a circle publicly that reflects well on me. And other people see me acting smart. Other people see me and think of me as considerate. This is narcissism, and it's very, very subtle. And that's one of the things that's really important to understand about gaslighting and about manipulation is that it is so, so very subtle. Oftentimes, and intentionally so, oftentimes it's so subtle that to even start discussing it in any way that does not play into the narcissism is immediately seized on as, you know, evidence that you're paranoid or evidence that you're insane. Another situation similarly happened yesterday, actually. Where I have, you know, somebody who I've known for a long time, and we're having this conversation and I post some information, they come back and say, well, I disagree. Okay, that's fine. You disagree. I'm going to stand by what I said, but I respect your disagreement. And you even make some valid points with your disagreement. Okay. But as soon as I dig in my heels and decide that I'm going to, leave my statements as they stand, the tone changes immediately. And now we're going to, talk to me like I am a young child and explain very basic concepts and very childish things that really no reasonably thinking adult is in need of having explained to them. Okay. Then again, as soon as I start to stand up for myself and say, hey, wait a minute, no, then it's, oh, well, you know, it's on me again, right? It's always, and this is a trick that narcissists play that is really super important to key into if you're going to defend yourself against them, okay? And you watch how they do their phrasing, and you watch how they speak, okay? And so, a couple of months ago, I made a very firm decision and made some public statements to that effect that I was done playing this game. I am not going to continue surrounding myself with people whose only interest in pretending to be my friend is to gain some sort of social approbation or personal ego gratification. Out of it. I don't have the time and energy to surround myself with people like that anymore. And I am not going to continue to be manipulated into, having to play nice or to be graceful to avoid having somebody accuse me of being an asshole. Okay. If it comes down to that, then just, call me names, tell people whatever you want behind my back. I don't care. The interesting thing about this is what happens is immediately when I go to saying, look, I'm not going to be here. This is not a conversation and it's not a friendship. And you have made clear through your words and through your immediate pivot to, openly insulting my intelligence, character, and integrity as soon as I disagree with you. And this is a repeating pattern. It's happened every single time that I've disagreed with this person over a period of years. And any other time, it's laudatory and so on and so forth. And so immediately when I go to that, we start to get the defensive mechanisms and we start to get the defensive and accusatory language. Right. And this is, again, one of those very subtle things that gaslighters and manipulators just love to do. And so I said flat out, I'm done. I'm not having this conversation anymore. I'm finished with it. I don't participate in this kind of behavior. I'm done. And I was really kind of frustrated with myself because I found myself once again sitting here, you know, writing and erasing and writing and erasing. I literally sat here for 5 hours trying to find precisely the right way to respond to this comment so that I would not give this person some sort of hook on which to hang an accusation of my being, you know, resistant to disagreement or my being an egomaniac and only want to hear from people who agree with me. Nothing could be further from the truth. I love to learn, and the only way you learn is by hearing things that you're not aware of or don't know or don't agree with, and then examining them, right? And so finally, about 4:30 this morning, I just said, you know what, this is silly that I'm doing this. And I issued forth, you know, basically a one sentence response of I am not here, you know, to be, you know, the metaphorical sex toy for your intellectual masturbation. That is not my purpose in life. I do not have time to have my energy sucked up like this, and I'm done, period. The end, right? I shut the comments off, which I do anyway after these live streams, because I end up publishing a different copy that's been, you know, slightly edited and cleaned up, right? So, and this morning, right? Here I go in one of my social media accounts. Here's this message you know, did I offend you? No, you didn't offend me. I'm not offended. You insulted me, and your behavior made clear that these pretense to respect that you've displayed is bullshit. You don't respect me. You don't respect me as a person. And this is the key thing that I want to keep getting back to with narcissism and manipulation and gaslighting. Is these people don't genuinely respect anybody. The utility of friendship and the utility of camaraderie and the utility even of discourse with people who think on this level is self-gratification. Okay, they are not respecting you, or they are not you know, being helpful or being meaningfully supportive to you. What they are doing is trying to engage in a public display of their own intellect so that they can feel like they are being, you know, reflected upon as wise and associating with other people who are, you know, have a positive public image or what have you. Okay. And again, I, you know, you'll have to forgive me, but there is no way to talk about some of this stuff without sounding a little bit arrogant in the terms of the social expectations of our culture. Okay. And really what it's about simply is self-respect. I have grown over the last year to respect myself too much to spend 5 hours trying to figure out the exact right way to tell a gaslighter that I can see them gaslighting. I'm just not going to do that. And I did it last night. I was a little frustrated with myself about that. And so I come to it this morning, and it's, first it was, did I offend you, right? So immediately, just that sentence, right? Did I offend you? Well, no, because now what you're saying is I took offense, not that you were rude, right? You're shifting automatically the responsibility for the behavior from yourself to the other person. Understand? Right? And this again continues, right? Oh, I didn't insult you. Well, yes, you did insult me, and it's not up to you to decide that. What you said, I found very condescending and disturbing and unlikable and unlikable. And so I am done. I'm not going to do this. And so the other person continues to go on with, you know, did I offend you? No, you did not offend me. You insulted me, and I'm not going to be insulted. I deserve better than that. I've earned more respect than that. And I'm not going to continue playing games with people who want to go on and on in circles with this, right? And that's it. I'm done. Goodbye. And so again, it comes back, even as I have, you know, very clearly said, I am finished here. This person just has to get that last word in. Oh, well, all I was doing was adding information. No, you weren't adding information. You were throwing out some information that was already there, and you were being argumentative, and you were being insulting and condescending and rude. And that is what this, you know, what I was seeing. And so again, you got to get that last word in. You've got to continue to push the other person, if you are the narcissist, you're going to continue to push that other person and continue to gaslight and continue to try to make that other person question themselves so that you not only retain the power in the conversation, but you also retain your rent, your free space that you are occupying in that person's mind. That person's attention is now on you. That person's energy is now focused on you. And that is the goal of the narcissist. That is the goal of the gaslighter, of the manipulator, is to keep the attention focused on themselves. This is the same behavior that you see. Occasionally, I will, you know, post a question or solicit, you know, advice from friends through social media in terms of what I'm doing right now. How does the show look? Is there a reason why people aren't sharing, do you think? And there is a certain type of person who will immediately jump in and give, you know, 15 paragraphs of reasons why everything that I'm doing is wrong. It'll all be things that have nothing to do with things that I don't already understand, right? It'll be, oh, well, you know, your screen is pixelated and your lights are bad and so on and so forth. Well, I know that. I'm running through a $50 webcam in a basement, right? I'm very well aware of my technical limitations. That's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is, do I have a giant thing on my nose that, you know, only I can't see that is somehow offensive to somebody? Is there something that I'm saying or doing that makes me completely unpresentable, even in small bites, without curse words that make the ideas that I am presenting, untenable for you to share with your friends? Am I somehow embarrassing to you? And that never gets addressed, right? What gets addressed is this type of person who wants to appear to be helpful, who wants to be very visible publicly in appearing to be helpful. They will come in and they will throw out this paragraph of, you know, unhelpful suggestions and unconstructive criticism. At the same time, these are the same types of people that will absolutely never just hit a share button, hit a like button, and they will never explain why they refuse to do so, right? And that is, again, that's your red flag. That tells you this is not a person who is genuinely trying to help you. This is a person who is trying to be seen by other people as helpful, okay? And it's a very different thing. A friendship, and this is kind of a recurring theme as I gain self-respect, a friendship of long standing that I firmly terminated at the beginning of the year, involved a person who was always the one to jump up and, you know, if I needed help of some kind, they would always, oh, I'll help. And as soon as, that publicly visible indication that I no longer needed help was reached, and the attention on the conversation died down, and maybe I started to make some plans based on the idea of that help, then you find out, well, this person isn't really going to help. What they're going to do is reach out to somebody else and get them to pitch in, right? Now you're going to bring a third party into it. And so now I am supposed to be indebted to this person, this first person who is doing the manipulating. Now I'm indebted to them. I owe them one, but they didn't actually do anything, right? All they did was hit somebody else up. I could have done that myself. And in fact, if they hadn't jumped up into the middle and made such a big show of themselves being helpful, somebody else would have stepped up to help and things would have gone differently. And again, this is for the narcissist, for the manipulator, for the gaslighter. This is all about focusing the attention on themselves. Okay, and they will do this, and they will do it so subtly, and there are things that you can look for and behavior patterns that you can look for that can help you identify that behavior and see it when it's happening, right? One of the things that really tends to stick out to me is when you're dealing with somebody who's manipulative or who's gaslighting or who is a narcissist like that, and you say to them, listen, I think you're doing this, they will never deny it, right? They will never say, no, I'm not doing that, you're wrong. what they will do is they'll come off with statements like, how could you think that? I can't believe you would think that. Where could you possibly come up with the idea? And this, again, does two things. Number one, it draws the focus of the conversation back onto their feelings, right? And second of all, it puts the onus on you to explain their behavior. Are you following me? I hope you're following me, because this is really important stuff, especially when it comes to personal relationships. And this is where a lot of your, you know, your abusive relationships, your abusive romantic relationships, and even business relationships come from, right? How could you say something like that? Oh, I'm so hurt. I'm so hurt. You know, and you get the same thing when you stand up for yourself in the face of that behavior, rather than the person who is engaged in that behavior standing up and saying, you know what, you're right. The thing that I did was unacceptable and it was manipulative and I apologize for that. Instead, they will accuse you of being ungrateful. They will accuse you of forgetting who your real friends are. Okay. And make no mistake, I have plenty of real friends. I am fortunate and wealthy to be surrounded by some of the most wonderful people on the planet, you know, and that doesn't mean they give me money. Some have, but that's beside the point. It means that when they offer support, it's genuine support. It's not a show of support intended to impress other people. Right? It is not an attempt to interject themselves into a situation and make themselves the focus of the situation and to paint you into a corner where they can later claim you owe them. Right? Real friends, genuine people, people who are not gaslighting, people who are not manipulating, people who are not operating from a basis of narcissism, they're going to be supporting, they're going to be helpful, they're going to offer constructive criticism. You may disagree with them sometimes, and they may disagree with you, and as adults, you can deal with that, right? I have people who, you know, of course, you know, if you've been around for any while, I have major depressive disorder, I have PTSD and bipolar 2 and, you know, some mental health issues. And they caused me, you know, some difficulty. And so within my personal circle, I will, you know, discuss these feelings and I will vent my feelings among friends. And the true friends, the people who are not manipulating, those are the people who will just step forward quietly and say, listen, are you all right? You know, and of course, you know, you always end up feeling a little bit because then you have to explain, listen, this is how I avoid being genuinely suicidal, is talking about my feelings. This is how I work through my depression, is by expressing the way that I feel. Please don't be concerned that, you know, I'm going to hurt myself when I'm talking like this, because that's why I'm talking like this, is so I don't hurt myself. Okay. And it works for me. And that is a burden on my friends, and I feel, you know, some guilt and some sorrow for that. At the same time, I've always been willing and have, you know, many times in the past been willing to take that burden on as a friend, when you know, somebody else is in need, right? That's genuine help. Genuine criticism is when somebody says to me, instead of, here's a list of things that you already knew were problematic that you can't do anything about anyway, they will say, hey, listen, maybe you need to cut back on, you know, the adult language sometimes. Yes, very much so. One of my viewers, Chad, has popped in and made the comment, not talking leads to bad things. And for me, that is very much true. And of course, everybody is different. Some folks, you know, that may not be the case. But for me, if I'm talking about my problems, I may need feedback, I may need comforting words or what have you, but I'm okay. If I shut up entirely for a couple of weeks, if I kind of disappear, that's when it's time to worry. And so, again, what we're talking about is genuine expressions of genuine friendship, genuine respect, genuine regard versus narcissistic manipulations and gaslighting and the application of compliance gaining techniques in an inauthentic way. And so you see, again, you know, it's, it becomes, I've made this analogy before, you know, the fireman who sets fires just so that he can be lauded for putting them out. You know, some people want to have that, that hero complex and that hero focus, that they're always going to be the one to be there on the rescue. They're always going to be the one to jump in and look, everybody, look at how wonderful I am for making this big public gesture. That is completely unhelpful in any real way, right? And in a lot of times, especially you know, with the friend that I mentioned earlier, who I ended my friendship with at the beginning of the year, it really screwed my life up for several years. Because had this person not interjected themselves, wanting to be the focus of attention, wanting to be the focus of you know, positive, you know, social approval, there is every possibility that I would have had the chance to go a different direction, and that different direction may have been much more positive than the one that I went in. Okay. And so, yeah, I'm just rambling. It's free for all Friday. We're not trying to stick hard to a topic here, but I really feel like it's important that we understand, especially if you are a person who's very empathetic, if you are an empath, as is trendy now to say, people will take so much advantage of that. And especially the narcissist type of personality, they can smell it. You know, I was talking with a dear friend who I like to think I helped work through a really, really bad relationship a few years ago. And we've remained friends. One of the other tricks of the narcissist, one of the other tricks of the gaslighter that we were talking about is, and this applies much more acutely to like domestic abuse type situations where, you know, an abusive partner will you know, be physically abusive or hurt you, you know, emotionally or physically, and then they'll go into this routine of, oh, I'm such an asshole, you probably don't want to be with me at all. And sometimes these people like introduce themselves to, right, that's how they start their social relationships, by loudly proclaiming what an asshole they are. And that is how predators, narcissists spy the easy victims, right? Because somebody who's reasonably well-adjusted, and again, I'm not making a value judgment here, but the language is limited in how I can see these things. Somebody who is you know, mentally healthy, has good self-esteem, and so on and so forth, is going to hear somebody walk up going, "Oh, I'm an asshole," and go, "Well, okay, you're an asshole, go away," right? And somebody who is very empathetic, and somebody who is the type of person who wants to be healing and who wants to be helpful and who wants to, you know, solve pain, they're going to be the ones that stick around. And so this is how the narcissist starts to identify their targets, right? Because if I'm in a room with 10 people and I say the first thing out of my mouth is I'm an asshole, 9 people leave and, you know, or 8 people leave and 2 of them stay behind, I know that those 2 people I can probably manipulate into doing what I want to do. Because those 2 people have that urge to help, have that urge to be assistant. They have that urge to relieve the pain, and now I know that I can exploit those people. Right? I know that those people are not going to just leave when I become abusive. Okay. And I really hope I definitely understand this very, very abstruse and very tangly and can be difficult to follow. And I really hope that what I'm saying is kind of getting through, because I think it's so, so important to our mental health, to your mental health out there, whoever's listening, to be able to identify this behavior when it's coming at you, because this is how you end up stuck in a bad relationship. Right. And that's part of what I'm going through in a broader sense right now. These are not intimate relationships, but I have ended many, many relationships and long-term friendships over the last several months. And that is very much rooted in coming into a place in my life where I'm starting to be able to discern genuine feelings of self-respect from the shallow gratification of my ego that comes from being flattered. right? If all I do is surround myself with people who tell me how great I am all the time, and it's not that I don't like to hear that, right? I mean, everybody likes to hear that they're doing a good job, but that they're doing something that matters. But certain people, when you watch them, you will start to see they'll be very flattering as long as you validate what they already think. Right? So now we're smart people together here in this mutual admiration society. And as soon as you say something that challenges their self-perception and their image of themselves as being, you know, intelligent or kind or whatever, then they will immediately shift gears and start to go into that more, disrespectful, condescending, and even abusive behavior. And so that can be a real red flag. And if you find yourself in that position that I found myself in last night, where you are writing over and over again, trying to say something that's really pretty simple, but struggling so hard to find the way to say it that is not going to set this other person off, you are being gaslighted. You are being manipulated. That narcissist has made their way into your head and occupied your head. And they're getting what they want in that moment. Whether they're present to see it or not has nothing to do with it, right? They are occupying your mind, and that is what they want. The focus is on them. Okay. And so, like I said, you know, when I find myself here at, 4 o'clock in the morning, having written and rewritten and erased 3 or 4 paragraphs, you know, 5 dozen times, trying to find exactly the right way to just say straight out, look, you're gaslighting me, you're manipulating me, your motivations are clearly narcissistic, and I think it is time that we end this relationship. Yeah, that's a giant red flag, and you have to have a little self-awareness and catch yourself from doing that stuff, and that's what I had to do last night. This is not, and just like, you know, recovering from alcoholism or drug addiction or any kind of psychological or mental health issue, there is no quick fix, and there is no easy answer. There's no switch that you can throw to make things all better and understand and make everything good. It's a recursive process, and you go through it, and you go through it, and you think you have made progress, and you have made genuine progress, and then 6 months later, you look back at yourself and go, what was I thinking? I was nowhere near where I thought I was at that point. And you have to cultivate the ability within yourself to face that realistically, to accept that you're not perfect, to accept that nothing is ever going to be, you know, the very model of a modern, sane, well-adjusted person. Those people don't exist. Okay, every single one of us has our little neuroses and our little, issues in our heads. And one of the ways that even as a collective, that sort of, manipulative thinking takes hold is, like I said, when somebody who has, been the target of that behavior starts to stand up and display some self-respect or to set boundaries, immediately that becomes an offense. And the narcissist, the manipulator, will come at you and make you question whether that's the right thing to do. And you see this on a social level, especially with things like, the incel mobs and the Gamergate type people, and it's actually really common also in the fetish community, right? You see these people who refer to themselves as dominant or alpha and so on and so forth. And the reality is, if you genuinely are possessed of that type of personality, you don't have to run around telling people. They'll know. And they'll see it. You don't have to strap a label on. There is nothing less dominant in alpha than somebody running around calling themselves an alpha. That's silly and infantile, right? But you see that a lot in the kink communities, because that tends to pull people in, and a lot of people end up, finding those aspects of themselves through, you know, some mental health issues. They know that is not at all to kink shame or to say that people who, you know, have fetishes are all weird or crazy or anything like that. But a lot of people find that that kind of behavior or that avenue of behavior is a way for them to, you know, to find healthy ways to express the things in their lives that maybe aren't healthy. You know, the things maybe whatever in their past or in their behaviors or in their mental illnesses that are not healthy, they can find ways to do that healthily within that context. But it's also very, very prone to attracting predators and abusers and manipulators. So, again, we see, whether you're talking about politics or whether you're talking about, you know, the quote unquote vanilla relationships or whether you're talking about some, you know, kink scenes or whatever, these behavior patterns are pretty consistent, but they're also very, very difficult to identify, and they're intentionally made difficult by the perpetrators of the behaviors to call out, right? Are you sure? Really? Is that what you think? You know, wow, I was just, wow, where do you get off? What are you talking about? That's crazy. I was just, you know, right, exactly. Yeah, thinking you are an alpha is so beta. Exactly. Okay, that was almost a clever troll. I'm going to ignore it, but yeah, you don't is the answer to that question. How do you explain autoerotic asphyxiation to a 4-year-old? You don't. Period. There's no need to go into that kind of detail. If I am, you know, being overly cynical and assuming that that is a joke when it's really not, the answer to the question is that you don't. It's not necessary to go into that level of detail with a 4-year-old any more than it's necessary to go into the graphic details of homosexuality in order to explain gay marriage. Okay, no. So I'm assuming that that's just a troll question. But anyway. Yeah, so that's again, this is actually a really good example, right? So I'm going to go ahead and open this up a little bit. This person who I have not seen before, and don't necessarily recognize, and clearly using a euphemized screen name. The question on the screen is: I took my son to the park, and when we got home, we found his goldfish dead, which is a tough situation for any parent. How do you explain autoerotic asphyxiation to a 4-year-old? That's the question. Now, what potentially could happen here is when I say, well, this is obviously just a troll, somebody being a dumbass, they go, oh no, how could you say that to a bereaved parent who's struggling with a difficult issue, you bastard, right? Great example, thanks for providing me with that. So yeah. You know, the you do see that very much, or right, it's just a joke. Okay, it's just a joke, and that's fine. But also, it's just a joke is, you know, who are you to be? Who am I to criticize it? Right? What's wrong with me for taking it more seriously than I should have? Okay. And it's nothing personal, and I don't know who you are or what you're thinking or why you're doing the things you're doing, but I'm using this to frame my existing conversation here on my show about manipulative behavior, gaslighting, narcissists, sociopaths, and so this provides a very good example of, you know, potentially that sort of behavior. So don't take it personally. It's not. I don't know who you are, person. You know, again, you see the same type of stuff. You know, I've talked before about the issues that I've had with, you know, with some harassment and you know, trolling from big page owners who are threatened by the idea that I am trying to help people see their way past being sucked in by clickbait and bad information. And there's a lot of people out there that make a lot of money on that. And so when I start going out saying to people, hey, look, and this is how this works, and you're being taken for a ride, that's a threat to them. And so they come in and they try to discredit. And I saw this, you know, hardcore for years. It's tapered off a lot now, largely because I think they finally figured out that all they were really accomplishing was getting the few genuine and caring people out there behind me. But so immediately it's, you know, now I'm paranoid. Right. In spite of the fact that literally people were creating groups, secret little discussion groups on Facebook for them to sit in groups of 6 and 8 people and discuss how to deal with John Henry and his big mouth. Right. Thank you very much. And again, nothing personal, optimistically cynical. Thanks a lot. You know, these people literally were engaged in that behavior. But then as soon as I say that out loud, oh, you're kidding me. You know, that's insane. You must be paranoid. Nobody does that. Right. And that's part of, again, that's another one of those hooks that the narcissist and the manipulator will use, is they'll engage in behavior that, if you try to explain it to somebody who is not one of those people or who's not had to deal with one of those people, it sounds completely nuts. Right. I was talking with one of my family members earlier today about some of this stuff, and made the analogy to if you're accused of being an alcoholic. Right. If I just walk up and say, you know, optimistically cynical, you're a drunk. There's no way for you to deny that, even if you never had a drop of alcohol in your life. There's no way for you to deny that without sounding like a drunk making excuses for themselves. Right? And that's the corner that the gaslighters, the narcissists that they want to paint you into, is to create a situation that is so outrageous and so impossible to credit, because people hear it and they go, no, that's insane. And what they are thinking is that you're the one that's insane in describing this behavior, and not the people who are engaged in the behavior is insane. No, you've got to be nuts. Nobody acts like that. Well, people do act like that. And they count on other people not being able to credit that behavior as part of their control mechanism. Right? They literally enlist the general public in their gaslighting, and the general public doesn't even know they're participating because they're neurotypical and they haven't had that experience. Rape culture, victim blaming. This is another excellent example of this kind of behavior, right? What was the thing? It was a discussion a few days ago. I might have talked about it a little bit already, but a friend of mine posted something on their wall. Oh yeah, a woman that the cultural reference, and I do apologize for not having her name in hand, but she's not somebody that I was familiar with. But apparently, she was in a relationship with Drew Carey for a while, and she was, you know, murdered by her boyfriend. And, you know, a few weeks ago, and a friend of mine posted an article from some source, a reasonable source, about this situation. And the headline on the article was, "Can we stop validating women's worst fears?" Or no. It was, I should have pulled this up. I really, really feel bad about not having that woman's name at the top of my head. But it was, how did they phrase it? Okay, yeah, it was murder validates women's worst fears. And my response to that was, hey guys, can we please stop validating women's worst fears? By which I think any reasonable person hears, hey guys, how about, yes, thank you very, very much, Chad. Amy Harwick, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Amy Harwick, who was murdered, and she was a prominent writer about relationships. And so there was an article written about her. The headline was, Amy Harwick murder, or Harwick murder validates women's worst fears. And my response to this was, hey guys, can we stop validating women's worst fears? And this dude jumps in and literally says, no, they need to learn that the world is an evil place. And they need to learn that they have to protect themselves. Well, wait a goddamn minute. Why don't we learn to stop killing them? What kind of horseshit is that? Right? I mean, I was pissed, man. I tore into this dude. If he had not been the friend of a friend, I would have posted his name and employer and every bit of information I could have. I would have outed that bastard so fast. I didn't. But, and the guy, as we're going back, he literally did not grasp what he had just said. Right? Because the semantic value of what he just said is, no, let's continue hurting and killing women. Until they learn that that's a thing that can happen to them, and they go out. And he was a big amosexual, which I kind of hesitate to use that word because I don't want people to think I'm rabidly anti-gun. I'm not. But this guy was a gun humper, right? Immediately, the conversation for him was about, oh, legalize guns, 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 and so he tries to use this as a springboard from which to launch into this pro-gun rhetoric, and you know. So when I say, hey guys, can we stop validating women's worst fears? Can we stop, you know, hurting and killing women? His first response, without even thinking about it, is no. And didn't even recognize that, right? I literally went back and forth with this dude for like a half an hour, and never once did he catch on to the fact that he had literally, in public, under his real name, on social media, including his employer, said to the world, we need to hurt and kill more women until they learn that they should be carrying a gun to protect themselves. Incredible. Absolutely mind-boggling how anybody can take that and then to not understand the implications of what he had said. And this, again, is classic narcissism, right? If I'm mistreating you, it's your fault. Why didn't she leave? Why do you put up with me? Why do you let him? What were you wearing? How much did you have to drink? What's your sexual history? All of those are the same thing. And people don't like to hear that kind of stuff, and I'm sorry, but that's the reality. If you're engaging in that behavior, you are gaslighting. You are engaged in manipulative, narcissistic behavior, borderline or fully sociopathic behavior, and thinking, and you probably should consider seeking professional help. And I don't say that as an insult. I mean that genuinely. Right? If you see a headline about a woman who was murdered by her boyfriend and the headline says validating women's fears, and somebody else comes in and says, hey, can we stop validating women's fears like this? And your first thought is, no, we need to teach them to buy more guns. Dude, you need to talk to a therapist. You are not thinking in a sane way, and you're dangerous. And I don't mean dangerous, I'm afraid you're going to kick my butt. I mean dangerous, I'm afraid you're going to hurt somebody you care about. I'm afraid you're going to hurt an innocent person who's trying to love you. That's what I mean by dangerous. Those are the people, right? And of course, there's, you know, a pretty broad spectrum of this behavior, and some of it is much more subtle, and it may not involve, you know, violence or aggression directly. And some of it comes down to, you know, the kinds of guys that, you know, turn females on to heavily addictive drugs just so they can keep them around for, you know, to use for sex, right? Well, hey, if I get this girl hooked on coke and I've got the coke, she'll keep coming back. There's no difference in the mentality. There's a difference in, you know, how much you're willing to do things that are socially unacceptable to get there, but there's no difference in the mentality, right? That manipulation and that insistence on focus on the narcissist, application of abused compliance gaining tactics is the common thread that runs through all of these things. And of course, again, right, I've made, you know, similar analogies over the years of dealing with harassers and stuff online. And of course, the reaction is always, ha, 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 can you believe that stupid guy? He just compared us to domestic abusers. How silly, how ridiculous, ha, 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 ha. And hey, you people over here, why don't you come in and tell this guy that he just dishonored and disrespected victims of domestic abuse by comparing them to internet trolls, ha, 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 ha. Right? It's all manipulation. It's all narcissism. It's all gaslighting. And if you can get, you know, the average Joe to buy into it and start cheerleading you for it, then you're extra successful, right? And I mean, I did go through incredible strain mentally, and it very much exacerbated my mental illness to the point that I was, you know, I had seriously considered suicide a couple of times because of that behavior, you know. And it got to the point where I literally, you know, I could not trust and did not trust anybody, because I, right, these people are all hiding behind sock puppets and stuff. You don't have any idea who they really are. And it later came to pass that, you know, some of those fears were actually valid. And at least one of the people involved in that was somebody who was pretending for a long time to be my friend. Right. And in the meantime, what they were really doing was trying to manipulate situations to put me in a position of owing them, because apparently they thought highly enough of me that they assumed at some point I was going to get rich and famous and then they could go along for the ride. So, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Doc Chad, thank you very much for coming in. This optimistically cynical person who brought in the joke about the 4-year-old. Thanks again, and I didn't mean to single you out or accuse you of anything personally. It just made for a really good illustration with this stuff that I was talking about. Yeah, you know the drill, folks. You know where to find me online. Like, share, subscribe, tell the world, all that good stuff. I certainly do appreciate it, and, you know, I can sit here all day long and tell you how great I am, but then I'm just an egotistical asshole running my mouth and blowing smoke up my own ass. For me to build an audience and for me to be able to get this information out in the wire world, I need you to share, I need you to like, I need you to subscribe, I need you to be the person who tells other people, hey, look, this guy might know what he's talking about. You might find something interesting here. And that's how things happen. So any help that you can give me along those lines, I certainly do appreciate it. And of course, any help that we can give along the lines of fundraising is also deeply appreciated, because I look at me, I am not the world's most employable guy. That's all there is to it. You can find me on Twitter at johnhenry_.us. My website is johnhenry.us. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/johnhenryus. And of course, I am a co-administrator of the page. I loved to wake up in the morning when Barack Obama was president. For a straight donation to me, you can use PayPal at paypal.me/johnhenryus. And my Patreon account should be up and running by Monday at the latest, and that's at patreon.com/johnhenry when it goes live. And of course, I'll make plenty of noise about that, and I'll have some nice little treats for people who want to help out as well. So thanks a whole lot for listening. This has been a long, rambling, self-indulgent Friday free-for-all, because that's what it's for. I appreciate everybody. Dr. Chad, yeah, throwing out that name for me of Amy Harwick, I deeply, deeply appreciate that, because I was really feeling some genuine pain for not remembering her name. I just caught your earlier comment about feeling like Elizabeth Warren is gaslighting us lately. I have had that thought myself, particularly at that pivot moment there at the New Hampshire primary, where she tried to make the claim that Sanders had told her that a woman can't beat Trump. Even if somehow some formulation of that statement was made, it certainly was not made in the way that she was trying to portray it. And I think anybody who's followed Sanders for any amount of time knows that that's just not how he thinks. And you see that there was something else. What was the big pander thing? Oh, yeah, she's going to take money away from Trump's wall and spend it on coronavirus research. That bill's not going to go anywhere. You know, that's an empty gesture. That's you know, pause for applause is what that is. You know, it's just like a pro wrestler, you know, on TV, and you know, they're at doing a house show or doing a TV show, and Mick Foley used to make this a running joke. You know, right here in Springfield, Illinois. and wait and listen for the people to cheer because he said our town. It's the same thing. And honestly, that's exactly the kind of behavior and the kind of thing that has very much led me to question what used to be actually very strong support for Warren. At one point, Elizabeth Warren was running a really, really tight second place for me. And she has really done a lot to erode that in this campaign. So there you have it. Just as a brief side note, I did notice that John Legend is doing some tours and playing some shows with Elizabeth Warren. Bernie Sanders is doing shows with Public Enemy. And I can think of nothing that more clearly and effectively illustrates the difference I see between those two candidates and why I support Bernie Sanders. So with that said, again, I said 10 minutes ago I was going to get out of here, and now I'm going to do it. Thank you very much for joining us at the John Henry Show this Friday Free For All. I will be back live on Monday at 8 p.m. Don't even have a topic set yet, but of course I'll talk about that on my Facebook page and let people know ahead of time. Thanks once again. Enjoy your evening, and take care of yourself. Hey there, everybody. It's John Henry from johnhenry.us. Thank you for watching and stopping by my YouTube channel. Like the sign says, I am independent media, so I don't have a big PAC or an organization or a nonprofit that is behind me supporting this work. It is all me and it is all you. So if you can help out, you can see the information here at the bottom of the screen that links to my various fundraising and crowdfunding sources, as well as the Facebook page and the Twitter and my website. Share it around, spread it around, and thank you very much once again for watching. Have a great day.